just had to see if she was really back there. Praise the Lord. Well, good evening. It's great to see you all. Thank you so much for being here. And we continue our study of 2 Timothy. Our scripture passage is found in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. I hope you're having a good Father's Day. You know, as a spiritual father, Paul is writing this letter to Timothy, his spiritual son in the faith. And so let's read 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Please pray with me. May God bless the reading, hearing, and experiencing of his word this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. So we see in our passage this evening, we'll see that Paul was effective in encouraging Timothy. You see, even though Paul was suffering in prison, his one desire of making Jesus Christ known would not die with him, but that it would continue with Timothy and succeeding generations. And Lone Oak First Baptist Church knows that Timothy and succeeding generations were effective because we're worshiping God now. And we've got Vacation Bible School this week, and we're learning that 83 international missionaries were newly appointed at the Southern Baptist Convention this past week. We're connected with two of those newly appointed couples. The man of the first couple grew up at Friendship Baptist Church just down the street, one of our sister churches, and they're going to Europe. We served with the man of the other couple on our last two mission trips to Brazil. He and his wife know the languages of countries they served previously, but they're going to an even different country to learn a new language in Central Asia. Both of these couples will learn the heart language of the peoples they're going to serve in order to exalt Christ, make disciples, and pass the torch to succeeding generations that Paul desired would happen while he was suffering in prison. You see, Paul wrote 2 Timothy while he was a prisoner in Rome and facing certain death. Almost all of Paul's associates in the ministry were gone. But Paul was Christ's ambassador, and he knew that his master would take care of him. His main concern was not for himself, it was for Timothy and the success and the continuance of the gospel ministry. God would soon move Paul off the scene, and Timothy would take his place and continue to give spiritual leadership to the churches. And it wasn't going to be an easy task, so Paul was encouraging Timothy that he could succeed with the Lord's help. Paul was encouraging Timothy to keep the gospel fire burning brightly so that it might generate spiritual power in his life. We learned last week from Brother Patrick that we're to follow God's main charge to guard the good deposit, to guard the treasure that has been entrusted to us. And so this good deposit, this treasure, is that our Savior, Jesus Christ, abolished death and brought life and immortality to light. It is Paul's charge to Timothy, to all believers, which includes us, to keep the faith, to pass it on, to pass the torch. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, Paul explains to him and to us how to do that. Paul talks about the four different responsibilities involved in passing on the faith. First, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Secondly, equip others with the truth about Christ. Equip others with the truth about Christ. Third, share in the suffering for Christ. Share in the suffering for Christ. And then fourth, focus on the gospel. Focus on the gospel. And so this evening, we will look at the first two responsibilities of passing on the faith, and the third and fourth in the following weeks. The first responsibility of passing on the faith comes in verse 1 of chapter 2. Verse 1 reads, "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus." The first responsibility is find your strength in the grace of Christ. You see, Paul is telling Timothy to find strength to perform his role in the grace of God, not himself. Timothy was facing enormous challenges as he attempted to guide the church in Ephesus that had a population of more than 250,000. A few years ago, I was invited to go with a team from the Kentucky Baptist Convention to serve our missionaries in Central Asia. Our team led a retreat similar to what our Canada mission team did just a few weeks ago and what our France mission team did a couple of years ago. On our last full day in the country, we had the opportunity, the privilege, to tour the ancient city of Ephesus. And this was an incredible blessing, to walk the streets where our hero of faith, Paul, had walked. Boy, it really has made my Bible come alive all the more. In its heyday, the culture in Ephesus was not so different than our culture here in the United States in a lot of ways. Ephesus was the crossroads of civilization. It had people from many different backgrounds. It was an enormous powerhouse. They had goods flowing in by sea and by road, and the city's economic, political security really made it much like the United States, a perfect breeding ground for idolatry and rampant sexual immorality. And so this is what Timothy is facing in the city of Ephesus at this point in the 60s of the first century. What an incredible challenge to tell people in that environment that they need to repent of their sin and follow Jesus, similar to what we face today. Our mission team that returned recently from Canada were told that this is true in Montreal and Quebec, in Quebec City, where our missionaries are serving. Many French speakers of Quebec, whom our missionaries are seeking to reach, want nothing to do with organized religion, and they use church words for their swear words. And so Paul knows firsthand the challenges that Timothy is confronting, and so what is he doing? He's encouraging Timothy to stand up, to be strong, to keep moving forward, and to not feel overwhelmed. It's easy to feel overwhelmed, isn't it? When we're depending on our own strength, when we're depending on our own strength to serve God. Recently, a team of our deacons helped move a widow to her new home. As they served together with their trucks and their trailers and their abilities and their strength, this widow was encouraged. Her needs were met, and everyone was blessed as they worked together. You see, Paul does not encourage Timothy to be strengthened in his own strength, but to be strengthened by the grace of Jesus Christ. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, Paul encourages Timothy by reminding him to fan and to flame the gift of God, for God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and of love and of self-control. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, God gives his servants what we need to do the tasks that he asked for us to accomplish. There's a story about a father who watched his son trying to lift this heavy stone. And that little fella failed at every attempt. After some time, the father came by and he asked, "Son, are you using all your strength?" "Oh, yes, Daddy, I am." And his father looked at him and he said, "No, son, you're not using all the strength because I am here waiting and you have not asked for help." We can't do the work of passing on the faith if we've tried to do it in our own power. You know, God has set up the Christian life in such a way that it doesn't make sense to us sometimes. We want to go and work hard for Him and do our best and show how capable we are in making a difference in people's lives, but God has set it up so that He wants us to be weak and let Him be strong through us. Paul is talking about an issue there in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10 that is hindering him. And he calls it his thorn in the flesh. Now, we don't know exactly what it is, but Paul is asking God to please take it away so he can be even more effective. But the Lord said to him, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." And how does Paul respond? Paul responds by saying, "Therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, with insults, with hardships and persecutions. For when I am weak, then I am strong." You see, that's the same idea that Paul has pointed out here in this passage this evening. Be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. How many times have we heard this? Remember, it's all about God. When we remember that it's all about God, it's, "Okay, God, use me, work through me, help me to be what you want me to be." I love Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, when it reads, "For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work," what? "For his good pleasure." So God gets the glory. And that is what Paul is meaning about the grace of Christ. Let God work through us. We have this responsibility to lean on Christ, not ourselves. And so the first responsibility is to be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Then the second responsibility is to equip others. Equip others with the truth about Christ. We just heard Brother Hank talk about that we have this responsibility to pass the torch, to equip people to do that on an ongoing basis. Like Brother Scott said, discipleship is the way to follow Jesus Christ, learning, then following. So verse 2 reads, "And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will then be able to teach others also." And so Paul is encouraging Timothy to entrust the gospel truth that he's been entrusted with. As Paul's disciple, Timothy is familiar with Paul's teaching. That is why Paul could say, "What you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, pass it on." Like our children and our grandchildren, repeat what they see and what they hear from us, they're doing and they're passing on. So Paul knew the gospel was what? A treasure that needed safe keeping. Not a treasure that you put in a vault and hide away, but something to be shared, something to be given away. Like the song says, "Hide it under a bushel? No, I'm going to let it shine." Guard it, but proclaim it. Keep it pure, Keep it real, but proclaim it. Let others hear it and have an opportunity to respond to it. Teach others, by example, about the depth of the gospel so they can understand it thoroughly and then pass it on to others. Just like those who use their giftedness and serve as faithful examples in so many different ways in our church, many have been faithful examples of serving and passing it on for many years. And so Paul is depending on the Lord to help him through this process. Paul is telling Timothy, don't be the last link in the chain. Don't let it end with you. Paul says the people you should entrust should be faithful, trustworthy believers who are able to teach others. This is something that happens as a result of discipleship. This is what we are about at Lone Oak First Baptist Church. Exalt Christ, make disciples, pass the torch. The whole church is responsible. The whole church is responsible for passing on the faith. And so as you looked at the context, it is trustworthy men and women that arise from a faithful church body. So consider all the wonderful servants we have had and have and will have at Lone Oak First Baptist Church because of the faithful body of believers. Still going strong for more than 142 years. Praise the Lord. You know, I like the challenge of Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and Acts chapter 8, verse 1 and following. Acts 1, 8 reads, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And then Acts 8, 1 and following reads, "And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria except the apostles. Now those who were scattered," what? They went about preaching the word. They went about sharing the message of Jesus Christ. Who? The church people, not the preachers. The people of the church went out and shared. Dr. Robert Smith Jr. said that wherever the church was scattered, they scattered the word. Wherever they were gospelizers. Believers must understand that we don't have jobs, we have ministries to extend the message of Jesus Christ. Dr. Robert Smith Jr. says, "You might say, well, I'm an astronomer." Well, that's not your job, that's your ministry. Tell people about Jesus, who is the Son of Righteousness, who rises with healing in his veins, to tell people about Jesus, the bright and morning star. You say, "Well, I'm a botanist." That's not your job, that's your ministry. You are an undercover agent for Christ to tell people about Jesus, that he is the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. You say, "Well, I'm a dietitian." That's not your job. That's your ministry, to let people know that they need to taste and see that the Lord is good. You say, "Well, I'm an educator." That's not your job. That's your ministry, to tell people about Jesus, who is the wisdom of God. You say, "Well, I'm a mortician." Well, that's not your job. That's your ministry, to tell the undertaker that you're an overtaker, that he's an overtaker. You say, to tell the undertaker about the overtaker. There we go. You say, "I'm a gemologist." That's not your job. That's your ministry, to tell people about Jesus, the pearl of great price. You say, "I'm a geologist." That's not your job. It's your ministry, to tell people about the chief cornerstone, the rock of ages. You say, I'm a medical doctor. Well, that's not your job. It's your ministry to tell people about Jesus, the great physician. So listen, brothers and sisters, as we go, God gives us opportunities to tell people about Jesus. And His Holy Spirit gives us what we need to do just that. So are you walking with the Lord? Is the Lord ordering your steps? Is He ordering your heart and your mind and your words? Walk in that way, and you will be amazed how God will work in and through your life when you realize it's all about Him. At their Southern Baptist Convention this last week, it was announced that the Florida Baptist Convention led in the greatest number of baptisms this year. My brother-in-law is pastor of First Baptist Church, Delray Beach in South Florida. And so when I texted him and my sister this report, my sister wrote back, she said, we are so excited about what God is doing here in Florida. It's not just more Christians moving in the state that's growing the churches. It's people here who God is waking up to Himself. Our church alone already has as many baptisms so far this year than all of last year or in any year since that we've been here. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 14 and 15, Paul tells Timothy to continue in what he has learned and firmly believe from the sacred writings of childhood. You see, Timothy came from a background where his mother Lois and his grandmother Eunice faithfully taught him the scriptures from a young age. As Acts 16 shares that Timothy's father was not a Christian. So Timothy's ability to teach faithfulness came out of a period of many years where he had been trained. Faithful people come out of a whole church body that takes their responsibility seriously to bring up those who will be faithful and able to teach. Every maturing believer has the responsibility to entrust others with the truth. Think for a moment. Just think for a moment. Who passed the truth on to you? Huh? Who showed you and taught you what it means to follow Jesus? For me, it's people like my mother. I remember as a boy, how my mother loved me. She loves me today. She's 87, still loves her little Jeffy. But I remember as a young boy, I said, Mom, I just can't imagine a love greater than your love for me. And she said, oh yes, Jeff, there is a love greater than my love for you, and that's a love that Jesus Christ has for you. I think about my Sunday school teachers, Mrs. Owens and Mr. Metzger. My childhood pastor, Lowell Milburn, who came to Miss Owens' Sunday school class one Sunday morning and shared the message of Jesus Christ and how to know Jesus as Savior. Then he put it to us, who wants to put their faith in Jesus? And I raised my hand. I said, I do. And that's when my great adventure with God began. I think about my college pastor, Clark Johnson, who saw some things in me that I didn't see. And he helped draw those out. As Paul had passed the torch of ministry onto Timothy, now Timothy should do so to others who gave evidence that they too would be faithful. And this is what we seek to do in and through Lone Oak First Baptist Church. As we exalt Christ and make disciples and pass the torch. Someone said, it is not only a privilege to receive the Christian faith, it is a duty to transmit it. And every Christian must look on himself as a link between generations. Someone said the teacher is a link in the living chain which stretches unbroken from this present moment back to Jesus Christ. And so we must be intentional about passing on the faith. Paul knew he was calling Timothy to do something that wasn't going to be easy. And so Paul encourages Timothy to remember that Jesus Christ should be his motivation and his focus. And Paul encourages Timothy to continue to preach that Jesus has been risen from the dead, can forgive sin, and offer new life. Dr. Scott led us to experience what we can do as a church in reaching people for Christ through our Reach Challenge leading up to Easter a few months ago. You see, together, we are focused on the Father's business. Lastly, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25 reads, "And let us continue how to stir one another up to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near." Let's pray. Father, you are so good to us, and we are so thankful for your word. We are thankful for examples like Paul, who gave his life, who poured out his life as an offering and sacrifice for you as an act of worship every day. We're in a different time, a different place, and yet we have the same calling to pass on the faith. And we are thankful for how you have led Paul to lead Timothy, to lead others, to eventually get to the point where we have received the truth and we've heard the gospel. For those of us who are believers, we have received that treasure of truth, and now we're meant to take that truth to others. We love you and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.